Hi, my name is Frankie. Thank you for listening to Two My Mom. I never listen.
Alabama's Sarah Ashley Barker. If you have not seen Sarah Ashley Barker play before, you're missing out, because this is a player, in my mind, that stuffs the stat sheet. She can score, she can rebound, but it's the right side of the box score where you see all the hustle and all the effort, which makes her such a great player. Sarah Ashley, thank you for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me. It means a lot.
Yeah, listen, Christy Curry is a heck of a coach, and Alabama hasn't been preseason ranked since 1999. That is a long time ago.
Very long time.
What makes this team so special and different that has put you on the map so early?
Yeah, well, I think obviously you have to, give praise to the people before us, the ones that have built the culture, built the system that Christy wanted to build. And it took a long way to get to us being ranked preseason. But I just think that we have such a close knit. We all love each other. We all want to play for the front of our jersey. We don't care about the back. And so I think it's just having players that want to play for each other. You trust your coaches. We trust every single one of us. We know they trust us. And honestly, they've gotten to know us, off the floor too. They care so much about us off the floor. It's not just about what we produce on the floor. Of course, that is our job to produce. But at the same time, they're just great coaches. We have a great group. We hustle. We want to do the little things. We want to share the ball. We don't have anybody on our team who just wants to get theirs. We have everybody. Honestly, some people pass too much, in my opinion. I told Zay Green, I was like, Zay, you gotta shoot the ball a little bit more. So she's a great passer. But it's just we're very selfless, in my opinion.
You're selfless. You're older. You have a lot of players that this is their last year. And absolutely, you have some expectations around what you're doing. You were picked in the top half of the SEC, yep, a place that I know you haven't been picked before. Yep. How are you guys managing that?
Yeah, I think that with older people, Zay Green is very, very experienced. Aaliyah Nye is experienced. I have a lot of experience. I think with that, you have an older team which can help the younger guys kind of tag along. They kind of look after you. They do what you do. So you kind of lay the ropes. And I think that you just, from the beginning in June when we started practice, was like you set your foundation, and that's what we did. We wanted to work hard. We wanted to be the top in the SEC. And we know that just because we're ranked in the top of the SEC, that doesn't mean anything. That's honestly noise. That's just, hey, this is what people think you might do, but you still got to go out and produce and do what you're supposed to do. Because last year, I think they had us ranked 8. We finished top 4 in the SEC. So I think that's where our mindset is continuing to be, is like, hey, you haven't done anything yet. Like, what are you going to celebrate? You haven't done anything yet. And I think that's what we want to get to. We want to be able to celebrate and compete for an SEC championship. We want to compete in the SEC tournament. We want to compete and make it to the Sweet 16. And that's our goal. And so I think that for us, that's what our mindset is. Like, hey, we haven't done enough yet. Like, we got to keep going.
As Coach Nick Saban famously says, rat poison.
Rat poison, exactly.
Right? Can't let that infiltrate what you do. I'm guessing that you have, because you've been around for a while, like you said, you have a strong voice in the locker room. I'm listening to you, and you sound like you have all the traits of a really good leader. Where does that come from?
Yeah, I think it, I have 3 brothers. I grew up in a sports family. It was always you work hard first, and the work will then earn respect for other people. And then that's how you become to be able to have a voice in the locker room. And so I think it's also just when I was a freshman, I had a really good leader at Georgia, Maya Caldwell, who honestly was probably the best leader I've ever had. And I mean, she worked her way up in the WNBA. Now she was on the Atlanta Dream. She worked so hard. And so her just being able to lead the way she does, even when I was at Georgia with Joni, the way she leads, I think just having people with Christy, the way she leads, I've had so many people in my life that have been such good leaders that I've been able to look after and role models, that I've been able to see how they do things. And that's helped me, because I think, you're not perfect by any means. No one is. And so being able to accept, hey, I'm not perfect, I'm going to mess up, but like, I'm going to try to be the best person I can every single day. And I've seen people with my own eyes do that with Maya. I mean, she, when I was a freshman, like I came in and they were like, this girl is outrunning us on the track. Like, why is she going so hard? But that's just who I am. Like, I don't know anything more than 100%. Like, that's it. And she looked at me one time and was like, hey, don't let older people be like stopping you. She was like, you push your butt and make us work harder. So as having a senior tell a freshman that and be like, you're pushing us, that just meant a lot to me. And so I've always wanted to kind of do the same thing she did for me and look after my freshman and be like, hey, if you can come in and beat seniors, come in and beat seniors. And so I think it's just the people that I was able to just learn from, honestly.
I'm listening to you and I want to get your take on this because you did grow up with three brothers and this kind of conversation wouldn't happen with boys. Boys would be out there trying to survival of the fittest, trying to take this guy down, and then they'd be best buddies afterwards. But for women, we do seem to have some sort of hierarchy that we concern ourselves with that creates a lot of sensitivity around trying to build a team.
Right.
Guessing you are no nonsense. Like you're out there busting your butt to be the best that you can be.
Right.
And instead of it looking like an alpha type A, like show off, it's more of a, come on, everybody, let's all raise our level, right? Absolutely. Isn't that what it's supposed to be?
Exactly. Absolutely. I think it's just trying to make the next person beside you better. And trying to get, if you're pushing your, if you're working your butt off, you want them to work their butt off too, because it's a team sport. Yes. Individually, you do have to do individually things, but all together, you've got five people on the floor. If one person doesn't do their job, something's going to mess up. If one person doesn't box out, that person is going to get that rebound. And so I think it's just holding each other accountable, but also being the leader. I have people on my team like Aaliyah and I, Zagery and Carly Weathers who hold me accountable. If I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do, they need to be yelling at me. And so I think that that's where it kind of goes. Yeah, I'm the leader. I might have a say in a lot of things, but I need someone to hold me accountable. Chrissy does a great job of holding me accountable. And she calls me out too. Don't get me wrong. Like she will call me out and be like, SA, you do not need to do that. Like, and so, and that's what I love. I just love that I have people that will call me out and hold me accountable.
So winning is the ultimate prize here, right? I mean, that's what we're supposed to be doing is building ourselves towards wins, getting as many wins, stacking days together, stacking wins.
Yep.
This is a real opportunity for you guys to have incredible success. Mm-hmm. I think you're one of the sleepers on the national scene because you haven't had a lot of NCAA tournament success in the past. But this is a year where with an older team, with perimeter size, which I think is a factor.
Absolutely.
You have some things that some other teams don't have. Mm-hmm. Tell me what it is that you see about having experienced this being your fifth year in the SEC and you know how that can prepare you for the NCAA. What do you see? Like, what are you feeling right now, SA?
Yeah, I think that obviously in non-conference, you know, you might be playing a mid-major team and they may not be an SEC team, but you look at it as, yeah, you're winning these games, but are you winning them the right way? And I think that's where our coaches are holding us accountable. It's like, yeah, you might look up and we might be up 40, but there's some things in film and it's like that you can't do against an SEC team. You can't mess up an assignment like that. And so I think for us, it's really honing in on the little details, the things that we know we can't make mistakes against an SEC team that will beat us. Free throws. We're struggling with free throws right now. I'm just going to be completely honest. We really are. I mean, if anyone
knows, less than 70%, right?
Right. We're struggling with free throws. And even me, myself, I am. And those are the type of things, those little things that win SEC games. You can't go 9-for-17 from a free throw line like we were last night, because in SEC games, it comes down to the wire, a 2-point game, a 3-point game. Well, then when you look back on the stat sheet, those are what wins games, the little things. And so for us, that's what we're trying to do is just make sure that we're really honing in on those little things and the coaches are holding us accountable and making sure that, hey, just because you're not playing an SEC team doesn't mean that you can slack off on defense that one possession, because that's what we're preparing for, is we're preparing for the SEC to then be ready for the SEC, win those games, and then that prepares you for the NCAA tournament.
So right now you lead your team in scoring, but you also are getting nearly 8 rebounds and you're at 3 steals a game. So the right side of the box score is what I like to look at when I'm looking at a player like you, because you're all out hustle all the time. Like there's players that play at one speed. It's all hustle. It's effort. It is a grittiness about the way you play, but you also have a change of pace when it comes to the offensive side. Like, where does that maturity come in for you? Because you have learned to play every role. You've played every role in your college career. How have you been able to take all of those lessons that you've learned over the years and apply it to this year with this team?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's something that I'm very fortunate for. When I was a freshman, I had to be a role player. When I was a sophomore, I had to be a role player. When I was a junior, I had to be a role player. So I've been and then now when I was a senior, I was, you know, they're giving me more shots. I'm taking more shots. I'm leading the team more. When I'm in my fifth year, I'm doing the same thing. You know, you keep leveling up. And I think those experiences what makes me the player that I am, because me being a role player, I can still do the things as a role player that I was doing when I was a freshman, a sophomore, and a junior. But now I'm just knowing, hey, I got to score the ball more. Hey, I got to do a little bit more this way, and I'm going to get more shots. And so I think just understanding that, like, for me, I've been able to tell people, hey, it's okay to be a role player. I've kind of been able to give people examples. Like when I was a freshman, I may have only came and played 5 minutes a game, or I may have played 10 minutes a game, but you still got to lock in on the details and understand that, like, every single year just prepares you to be the best that you can be. And so I think for me, it's like, I'm able to show people if I'm having an off night, it doesn't matter for me offensively because I know I'm going to impact something else in the stat sheet for me. And so I think that's what separates our team is like, I don't have that pressure of like, oh, I got to go score 20. Like, yeah, I need to do that, but I don't have to do that. And so because I can impact with rebounding, stealing, assisting, my voice, my leader, my leadership on the floor, off the floor. And I mean, I know I'm saying a lot of I right now because we're talking about my team, but I wouldn't be able to put up the points and be the player I am if it wasn't for my coaches. I wouldn't be able to be the player that I am if it wasn't for my teammates. Someone's got to give me the ball. Zay Green's got to pass me the ball. Leonai's got to pass me the ball. So I think it's just having coaches and teammates hold me accountable to be the best player that I am.
So let's talk about perimeter size for a minute, because it's a big thing now in the women's game. I think there are smaller guards out there. You're going to see some on your schedule. But having some perimeter size can give you an advantage in some ways. Defensively, you could switch everything. There's different ways you can blow up ball screen coverage. Yep. How do you see your perimeter size being a factor? Inverting to the block, that's there's a lot of things you can do.
Absolutely. Offensively, let's look at it there. You can run plays to where you're setting screens, and if they switch, then you know what? We're going to roll our guard into the post, and we're going to post them up. And that's with anybody. So we kind of, going into the games, we're able to pick, hey, if this person's guarding Zay or this person's guarding Aaliyah, we're going to go at that player because we have a mismatch. And I don't think that we've been able to have that the past 2 years. I think that this year it's been very different. And honestly, it's been a lot of fun just being able to have that freedom of like, hey, we get to kind of choose like who we're putting in the post. We get to kind of choose like, and you're reading yeah. the defense. And honestly, you got to think about it because it's like, hey, if we're swinging the ball and someone else has a mismatch, you got to run it the right way so we can get the mismatch at hand. And then defensively, I think that the past 2 years we've struggled maybe a little bit on the defensive board and letting people get offensive rebounds and size in the SEC. So I think that size helps us being able to rebound at the perimeter spots, because when guards get defensive rebounds, I mean, you're out, you're pushing the pace, you're going. And so I think that's where it helps us a lot is I just think that the size people, your hands, and when your hands are up on defense, when you see like 6 foot guards, it's intimidating. It really is.
It is. And I think it is an advantage. It's something I noticed right away when I was looking at breaking down your team before we got together. Yes, I want to ask you about your family, because one of your brothers is a quarterback at UAB. One of your brothers is an offensive graduate assistant at Alabama. I don't know how many of those they have.
Yep.
I thought there were like 30 of those guys running around.
Right.
I mean, what have you learned from your brothers and from your dad, who was a local celebrity in Birmingham on the air with his radio show?
Yep. Yeah. I think that, my dad was very, you work hard. Nothing is handed to you. You always work hard. And so I think that, and he's always been able to kind of make it about my journey. He's like, I want this to be about Sarah Ashley Barker. I want you to do this. And even when I transferred to Alabama, he was like, I don't want to make it a Jay Barker show. I don't want that. Like, I want it to be Sarah Ashley Barker, women's basketball. You did this. That's your legacy. That's who you are. But it's because you work hard, and I want you to work hard. And then with my brothers, I think that, you know, that's kind of who I get my toughness from, honestly. I was in the backyard with them, and they didn't let anything fly. I mean, they were pushing me in. They were blocking me in the bushes. They were knocking me down. They were dunking on me. They put the goal at like 6 foot, and they're like, oh, we're about to go dunk on her. And I have a twin brother, and that's the one that plays at UAB. So, I mean, I played with him until I was in sixth grade, pretty much. And a lot of people, when I would check into the game, they'd be like, a girl's coming in. And he'd look at me and be like, go show him. What's good.
Yeah.
It's awesome. But I think just having brothers who I've seen work hard too and want me to be the best that I can. And it's not being the best that I can necessarily always on the floor, but it's being the best that I can as a person too. You know, faith is very important to us. We would be nothing without Jesus. And I think that that's something that I've held on to with my family. My family is very, it's all about the Lord. You give your glory to Jesus. That's he gave us the abilities to do this. And so I think that's where I find my joy and hope, is that even if I have a bad game, it's okay. Because at the end of the day, like, you know, Jesus came, and that's all that matters to us.
I'm the mom of three boys, and they're older now, college age or older. And there was constant competition all the time. So I can imagine if you throw a little girl in that mix that I can see why you're so tough. I want to ask you about this because I'm going to hedge on this, that this could be true, and you can tell me I'm wrong.
Okay.
You have a workout in the summer, and you have times where you can be with your coach, and you have certain goals to meet in the weight room. You have certain conditioning goals to meet. You have certain times you got to make.
Right.
Right. And then there's S.A. Barker's extra. Right. So there's the expectation, which to you, I'm guessing, is the minimum. What do you do on top of what is required? Like if you're supposed to run 2 miles, do you run three? If you're supposed to get 15 sets or 15 reps out of three sets, do you do an extra set? Like, tell me some of the things that you have done intrinsically motivated to be the best that you can be to set yourself apart from other players.
Right. I think that growing up, I always wanted to be outside shooting. I always wanted to do the extra shots. I always wanted to practice. I always wanted to just get those extra reps in. When I got to college, I knew that, you can't just spend your time in the gym just when it's required. And so that for me, I've held on to that. I would always go in and shoot extra. Pretty much every single day I would try to shoot extra. And then I just kind of created where sometimes for me, I've been a little injury prone. So it's kind of like, how do you get in the extra stuff, but also watch out for your body and make sure you're not doing too much. And so when I got to Alabama, we kind of came up with a system, and I do about three extra workouts a week. And some of those workouts will be, ball handling. I really spend time on ball handling a lot, passing, my weak hand, left hand. But I think it's just the repetition. I always want to be out shooting maybe 20 minutes before every practice, just trying to get shots up. And then I think it's just honestly just getting an extra, whether that's coming in before practice, in the morning. I know like my schedule right now, we practice Tuesday, Wednesday, we play Thursday, practice Friday, Saturday. I'll come in every Tuesday, Wednesday, and I'll do something extra in the morning for 30 minutes. And then depending on how my body feels, you do have to worry about that too. So if my body feels tired, I may do more kind of standing shooting, or I may do more fundamental stuff instead of really extra pounding, if that makes sense. So right. I think just kind of understanding that when you're in season, it's different than compared to when you're in the summer. In the summer, I was a lot more in the gym now that I maybe like pounding wise, if that makes sense.
Yes, it makes sense. Yes, it makes total sense.
Yep.
One of the reasons why we do this podcast is because we want to grow the game, and we want people to be aware of the personalities in our game, the work ethic, the IQ that comes with it. You can't just roll a ball out and go. I mean, there's under overhead strap, ice jam, switch, drop, the 8 different ways you can guard a ball screen. And there's all kinds of concepts that you can play, and you have to have the fundamentals. And I also know, because over the 5 years that we've been doing this, that there's a lot of WNBA people that listen to this, because I get a chance to share some conversation with some players that might be on a draft board, or they might be a little interested in, or they might want to find something else more about than just what they see on film or in person.
Right.
What I have learned through this is that, when you go to the WNBA or to professional basketball in your first couple of years, you may take 3 or 4 shots a game if you get 10 minutes.
Right. Right.
That would mean that you can stay on the floor by doing the other things, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
The other things, the body language, the all-in attitude, the confidence, the ability to play, the be the 9, 10, 11 person on the bench. Yep. All these things come into play. How much have you thought about your status on a draft board? If a WNBA coach or personnel front office was listening, what would you want them to know about you that maybe they didn't pick up on film or didn't pick up when they saw you in person?
Yeah, I think that, obviously I would love to go and play in the WNBA. That's a dream of mine. I want to keep playing basketball. I love basketball. But I think that because of the experiences that I've, dealt with in college, with being able to be a role player, but also being able to be a star on the team, I think that a lot of people may not have ever had to kind of play a role player when they get to the WNBA. They may have been the star from when they were a freshman and all the way up. And so I think for me, it's an advantage that, hey, like, even if I'm not playing 20 minutes a game, I'm still going to push those other people that are starters on the floor to be at their best, to be able to win games for us. Because at the end of the day, that's all that matters, is winning for our team. It's not, there's no individual success. It's about how are we going to get our team to be successful. And if that's what they need from me, is to be able to prepare our team, I will do that within a heartbeat, because all I need is an opportunity. All I need is a chance to just be able to show that, hey, I'm going to work my butt off. I'm going to push our team to be the best. And if you need me on the bench to be able to cheer and lead, hey, that's what I'll do for you. And if you need me on the floor to put up points, to be a defender, to rebound, I'll do that for you. And I think it's just being able to do anything the coach needs for me, anything the team needs for me, at the end of the day, because all I want is an opportunity. All I want is to be able to be on a team and be successful. And it doesn't matter if I'm putting up points or not, because that's not what matters to me. What matters to me is the team's success, how our program and our organization can win basketball games. And so I just think that at the end of the day, I can be a role player. I can sit on the bench and encourage my teammates, but I can also score if that's what they need me to do too.
And that's why Christy Curry loves her some Sarah Ashley Barker.
Yes, ma'am.
Sarah Ashley Barker. S.A. Barker. Keep an eye on her when she's coming to town. Put a little circle on your calendar when Alabama shows up.
Yep.
My sleeper pick this year in the NCAA tournament is the Alabama Crimson Tide, led by one of their veteran players, and Sarah Ashley Barker. We're so glad you could be with us. Thank you so much, and I hope a WNBA GM was listening.
I hope so, too. Thank you so much for having me. It means a lot.